Hey, everybody. Welcome to a mini episode of No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, this is a weird time to start, but we're basically four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. Today, we're talking, maybe, about the lessons learned from this year's National Novel Writing Month, but maybe not. I don't know. We're just talking.
Who knows what will happen?
Really about Nano in general. Because some of us learned no lessons.
I claim to learn nothing. Nothing.
All right, so I'm Kat, and I have not only tried to do Nano before, but I tried to do it this year. Woo!
I'm Brendan, and I'm guessing the operative word was tried.
Fuck you.
I'm Alex, and I've tried NaNoWriMo, and then was stricken with a cold for an entire week.
Sure.
I haven't tried again.
Sure you did. Sure you were. Colt.
Brent was there.
Yeah.
I'm Pippin, and I love myself too much to do NaNoWriMo.
Okay, for the listening audience, Pip, what is NaNoWriMo?
NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month, wherein you take the month of November to try to write a 50K novel, 50,000 word novel.
Which is actually the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, 80,000, I think, is your standard fare, right?
It really depends on what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what's your genre? What's your age group? I mean, if you try to, it's weird. But 50 is on the shorter end. It's just barely larger than novella.
Yeah.
What does Order of the Phoenix clock at?
Bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I tend to prefer, like, you know, doorstopper science fiction novels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I go a lot of ways. When I do doorstops, I prefer them to be historical romances or space opera.
That's science fiction.
Mm. Shut your face. It's barely science fiction. And now let's get our blasters. Pew, pew! Travel through that wormhole, which is totally scientifically possible.
Whee! Hey.
We're monks, but we have lasers.
You laser monks, yes.
FYI, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix was 250,045 words.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
And that's where the whole, like, you know, oh, how long should children's books be or whatever falls down. Because we found out with Harry Potter that blatantly, yes, 10, 11, 12-year-olds totally fucking happy to read 250,000 words.
If it's interesting and written for their level, yeah.
It's not even written for their level. Adults are reading it, too. If it's interesting and parents say that they can.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, the reason why 50,000's the magic number here is that it's an achievable goal, and that's a key thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been done. Well, novels have been published that were written during NaNoWriMo.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this is, if you're a freelancer, this is a great time to put out your resume or what have you on the EFA, the something Freelancers Association, because there will be a lot of people who will be shopping around for editors or proofreaders or copy editors for the books that they've written during NaNoWriMo. Between December, January, February, hot time.
Ooh. Get cracking, y'all.
That's lesson number one.
So as the listener may or may not know, I did try to write a book for NaNoWriMo, which was Greetings Valentine from our fifth episode, Wheel of Tropes. I have returned to the land of my forefathers. Hi, guys.
Are you older, wiser?
Yeah, I'm older. I'll put some of this up on the Patreon page for people, for our patrons. But what I came out the other end of it was three different openings.
Nice.
Thank you. None of which go together.
Naturally.
You know,
but keep them just in case.
Of course. So three openers, three different sets of notes, which I don't know if you can see the dates on these. Represent vastly different times of my planning and also vastly different ideas of my cheerfulness.
And vastly different ink.
Three, actually. And I believe two different notebooks.
And were there five gold rings?
No, but there was one file of other books I wish I was writing instead of this one, and other projects I wish I was doing instead. So nice. That's fun. But I will say that actually, by the end of this month, I did finally come up with the next steps to actually writing the book. And I've come away with three, count them, three lessons. Would you guys like to hear them?
Meh.
Sure, let's go. Lesson the first.
Lesson the worst. What? Oh. What? Okay. NaNoWriMo, take this as a chance to learn your process.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, knowing your process or even just learning your process, it's nothing quite like just having like the crucible, right? To really kind of discover yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and every writer on the planet has their own different way of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can tell you how they do it, but they can't tell you how you do it. Mm-hmm. And you can only figure that out by, you know, doing it.
There was a really fascinating discussion that came up on Twitter in the last couple of months, actually, which was dispelling the idea that you had to sit in front of a computer every single day or else you weren't a real writer.
I remember one of my professors, this was back in my game design course that I took, and he really stressed the idea that doing that brute force approach is going to do you no favors. Your subconscious really thrives when you're not actively trying to solve a problem.
Well, I mean, and Cameron Hurley, who is a writer of some renown, apparently saves up all their writing for like the weekend and then does 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
You know?
Damn.
Yeah, but it works for them. I found out that, yes, I can do workday writing. You know, I spend an hour every day doing like 1,000 words. But on the other hand, you know, when I get really, really excited, I can spend hours at it and not feel it. Yeah. The idea is just don't feel like a shithead if you can't find the time or you don't feel comfortable with the time of doing it every single day.
Yeah. I tried doing that for a little while, like trying to do at least, you know, minimum one page, target 1,000 words for a little while outside of NaNoWriMo. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of found that I ended up just meandering rather than actually making good progress toward like a cohesive story, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Though there are those who that kind of structure works for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people can, you know, sit down and write every single day. Some people can, you know, start a story without having a clear idea of where it's going to go and end up with a novel somehow.
Somehow.
Magic.
Possibly.
I can do the everyday thing provided I have an outline ahead of time. An outline that works, which is...
How detailed are your outlines when you have a outline that works?
It's funny you should ask that.
Aha.
Does that go into lesson the second?
Well, sort of, maybe. Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. Lesson the second is, if the story you planned isn't working, plan a different story. So,
oh, man. If I may jump in.
Please do.
Go for it.
That actually happened to Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Who was trying to do, is doing, NaNoWriMo this month.
Ashley, our transcriptionist.
Ashley, our transcriptionist.
Hi, Ashley.
Though... may or may not reach the word count.
Mm-hmm.
But she was having a ton of trouble writing. And then she just was all like, well, this isn't working. And she completely restructured it as she was going. And was like, okay, let's do this. And then suddenly she was able to get like 8,000 words out in one go.
Boom.
And she's like, oh, I fixed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. If you get too bogged down in what you think, you know, you've planned out beautifully ahead of time. Well, you know, the too bad. No plan survives enemy engagement.
And your book is the enemy. That's totally
of
the lesson
it is.
Here.
Like, obviously. What I do ahead of the actual writing process, theoretically, says the girl with three different starts, is I tend to write a bunch of essays to myself, not structured ones like Pip's capable of, but like little, you know, like whatever, where I basically talk to myself and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Maybe I'm doing this. Yeah. This is shitty. What a dumb idea.
You see, usually whenever I write notes to myself, I sign it past Brendan, and usually it's when I do something douchey. It's like, good luck with the workload, asshole.
From there, I either make the foolhardy mistake of trying to start writing, which I did. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. I'm like, that voice doesn't work. That character doesn't work. Fuck, 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 fuck. Then I write another essay talking about my issues. And finally, at the end, I do this weird thing where some time ago, I took some favorite books of mine and I boiled them down to their very, very basic plot elements. And from there, I sort of made up a gland for myself for how to do books that I like.
Does it boil down to people who are stupid and then kiss each other?
Shut up. Just because you saw that outline.
Well, I believe you said this to me ages ago. Feelings are stupid. Kissing is awesome.
I did not say that. That is from a dinosaur comic.
You know what? Still true.
Still true. No. So I use a bunch of, what's it called? Composition notebooks. The college ruled kind. Mm-hmm. So there's like, as I can tell, actually about 24 lines. And so I mark down in the margins chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all the way down to chapter 24, filling the page. At the top of the page, I write scene 1, scene 2, scene 3. And I split it into three columns. And then I arbitrarily mark across the page. I do some cross lines. So over here, for instance, I have a line after chapter 3 and then a line after chapter 15. And that marks act 1, act 2, and act 3. And then I just sit there and fill it with pencil, which seems like a good idea.
I've done similar things when I've, you know, tried, you know, writing a screenplay or two in the past, where I have a big cork board and I divide it into thirds for, can you guess it, act one, act two, act three.
What about act four?
And then I have index cards. Well, act four is just magic. That's the stinger scene. And then kind of going through and, you know, filling in index cards. It was a bit of advice from some screenwriting book. I think maybe Save the Cat or something like that. So while strictly adhering to a three act structure while you're writing might be, bad. Like, you know, they were like so precise. They were like, oh, stick to the page count here. You want to be at act two by this page. That's baloney. You can fudge that however you want. But, you know, kind of having at least some sort of structure and then planning your scenes ahead of time, kind of handy.
Well, the thing that I discovered during this nano, which I was really happy to rediscover, as it were, was the last time I wrote a book was some years ago. And I actually came up with a process for myself that worked really, really well. And then somehow over the intervening years, I forgot the final step. So I got to writing essays, good, outlining with my weird method, excellent, and then
profit.
I was going to say question mark, profit.
It turned out that the third, and I literally figured this out like maybe on the 21st or 20th of November. Go team! That the missing step that I had forgotten was that then I actually open up individual files for each chapter and just put the notes of whatever's in my stupid outlining plan at the top to remind myself, because I get freaked out by seeing a gigantic empty file. Whereas if I have tiny files, well, that's just pleasant.
It shows progress. What progress there is, who knows?
Exactly. Well, also, you know, it's a lot more less stressful for me to put like 3,000, 5,000, 6,000 words in one file and then move on to the next file, as opposed to, all right, we're at the 12,000 mark. Oh, God, is it a book? It's not a book yet. Oh.
So it's like slicing up your steak instead of eating chewing on the whole damn thing.
Wait. You guys slice your steaks? I've been chewing it whole hog this entire time. Whoa.
It's what the knife is for, Brad.
No, you only do that with live hearts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Does that mean I get to become a horse lord afterwards? Awesome.
Look, just stay away from the big cauldron of shiny gold. That's my big hint. Yeah.
Duly noted.
Of all of us, has anybody else finished a book?
You can't see the look I'm giving you.
Damn it.
Kat, you're the one who is published. Don't rub it in our faces.
I'm published, but not in fiction.
Okay. Damn it. Okay, maybe... Fuck. Okay, I'm trying to ask what other people's methods are. Maybe not for writing a book, but maybe just for, I don't know.
Oh.
Where the fuck you guys do.
I know how I write essays.
Yes, Pip, how do you write essays?
I outline them. Well, I literally, back in college, it was for a specific assignment, which is ridiculous to bring up here, but whatever, is I'd open a Word document and I'd have little brackets and go like introduction, and then whatever the first question my professor wanted me to answer in another bracket, the second question, another one, the third question, another one, and then like conclusion. And then I know all the people who want to give you advice on how to write essays say skip the introduction.
No, what?
No,
skip the introduction.
And write it last, because you're supposed to, like, talk about what you're going to be talking about.
What?
And I don't want to contradict those people, because usually they're professors.
not kids.
The introduction was the only thing I was capable of writing well.
Right? The thing I knew I could write is, like, okay, I can do an introduction.
Yeah.
And, okay, this is the stuff I intend to talk about. And then I would feel free later to rewrite the introduction based on what I'd actually talked about.
You rewrite, you fool.
Oh, man. In fact, all my essays were of the wing it at the evening before variety.
Oh, I'm not talking about when I wrote my essays. off mic, I'll tell you guys stories.
But for my capstone, I actually legit spent 2 weeks in the at the library computer instead of my own room, actually doing the work. And actually, I kind of learned more about essay writing in that final 2 weeks than I did in my entire academic career.
You learned a lot about yourself.
And you learned your process.
Learned the process.
It was a mini NaNoWriMo for you and essays.
Oh.
But that's part of it. When you have, in your case, a real deadline, or in NaNoWriMo, an artificial, it makes you get down to brass tacks. That's part of the point of it, I think. Mm-hmm. Also, I had a similar experience when writing my thesis, although mine was several months long because it was like an entire class. I ended up, like Brendan was doing, I took bits, ideas, in brackets, like Pip, or paragraphs. And then like Brendan, I cut them up and started rearranging them on my floor until they made sense. While the same three episodes of, Dorothy Sayers murder mysteries, played in the background because the academic British voice of smart people, I wanted to infect my writing. And it worked.
Oh, that's another important part of my essay writing process is I sit down and I go, okay, what would someone who actually knows something about this say?
Let's see. Fiction. I'm just remembering an anecdote from before I started my current job. In the interim of time between interviewing and then finally getting like confirmation word, which was like about a month or so, over the course of being kind of stressed out about it, managed to crank out a 90-page screenplay out of the process.
Nice.
Because I'm like, I got to distract myself and let's go.
I think I was there for that. It was weird.
Basically, I wanted to do an adaptation of The Apocalypse Door, if you remember that.
Mm.
You know, so just like, how can I do an adaptation? I've never done that before. Let's give it a whirl.
Let's put all my energy in this thing and not that other thing I can't do anything about.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great distraction.
I imagine so.
And actually a lot of fun, and I keep on meaning to go back to it now that I've kind of let it sit there for a few years.
I know that feel.
And then you open it up, and you go, what was I thinking?
And then you can fix it.
And then you turn a page and go, oh, hey, that works.
Oh, no, because the trick with adaptation is just, you know, condensing, was it like an 80,000 word story into a 90 page screenplay?
Not just condensing, but switching the medium, which is a different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
That's why I don't actually mind when movies deviate from books.
Mm-hmm.
When they're adaptations, because, you know, people get mad. It's like, oh no, they changed this thing. And I just sit there going like, it's a different medium and different way of telling stories. Let it go.
Yeah. Well, like Douglas Adams had, like, for every single different media that Hitchhiker's Guide was presented in, there was a different way of presenting the story.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to tell a new story that's familiar, but, oh, I have opinions. That being said, I am mad about one change in The Lord of the Rings, but never mind.
Say it. Say it. Say
Yo, Tom Bombadil fan. Yeah.
No. Fuck no. Faramir should never have even been kind of tempted by the ring. Whatever.
Nice.
So we can move on.
I have one last lesson. It's the third one.
Oh, lesson the third.
Lesson the third that I took, that I learned from this NaNoWriMo, which is, start as many times as you have to.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
There is no rule that says that the thing you start writing is the thing you have to finish writing.
But thou must.
Thou must. How about thou? Nah.
Fair enough.
Thou giveth the college try.
Well, also, it goes back to the, you know, if the story you planned isn't working, plan a different story. Well, that's you giving it a shot. It's like,
yeah,
nope, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, as long as you find a story that you find fun to write, the words will just at least come easier.
Yeah. There's no one's going to tell you that you should finish that Millie Vanilli and with the Wizard of Oz story. You don't need to.
I'm telling you, you have to.
What's a Millie Vanilli song? Shit, I was going to come up with a joke.
I can just see them dancing in my head. I can't actually come up with any music.
Yeah.
Dancing down the yellow brick road.
But no, you can reset it and have Vanilla Ice. It's all up to you.
Hey, the wizard. I'm cool.
But here's the thing. I can see that sometimes you do have to write a story. Like, particularly if you're the very lucky sorts of people who are being paid to do such a thing. What? Like tie-in novels and junk like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing some people making fun of, like, you know, movie novelization novels. Like, oh, these novels are crap. It's like, well, you know, that was people getting a paycheck. Come on.
Hell yeah. But, you know, so sometimes you are constrained. However, again, there's a lot of options you can still do. Is it first person? Is it third person? Is it second person if you're feeling wacky?
I know. A second person is actually a lot of fun. Like, the novel I'm currently reading, I'm reading the second novel in the Broken Earth trilogy, and a lot of it's told in second person, and it's interesting.
I actually super love second person, but I've had people, my co-author and I wrote our lovely one and only published book in first person, and we got a letter saying that, from somebody saying, why did you write it in first person? I'm very disappointed. To which my co-author and I were just like, all right. I'm sorry you were disappointed.
Check in on the next book and maybe you'll change your mind.
We wrote it deliberately to upset you.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Note to self, I've learned my lesson. Never again. Oh, wait, no. I love first person. Fuck you. But, you know, it's always good to be polite, et cetera, and so forth. But the idea is that if you're stuck with the story that you've been that you've been given, you still have a lot of leeway and mess around with it.
Yeah.
Like all those Star Wars tie-in novels.
Yeah. We all be so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
That sweet, sweet Star Wars money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So any other little tidbits of wisdom learned this month, Kat?
Oh, hell no. I'm not wise. I set out to come up with three things I've learned, and by God, three things I have shared.
Learned is a strong word.
ingrained into your body. That's worse.
Phrasing.
All right. Anyway, based on what we've talked about today, guys, or rather,
hello, Pip.
What?
Hi.
Whoa.
Hey, Pip.
What?
How's my best frenemy coming?
So, one, fuck you. Two, it's not. Don't you owe me? But three, one of my friends texted me. I went to Ashley. You know where you should send your hero. Theater camp. Yes! Like, she specifically mentioned Stage Door, which is sounds fucking intense.
Okay.
It's had, like, famous actors go through it. Mm-hmm. And apparently they go back to teach sometimes. Ooh. And it's several weeks long. They put on plays. It's in New York.
Oh, my God. This is perfect.
Yeah. And she texted me about this, and I was all like, suddenly there's another person invested in this story.
This may or may not have been my secret plan when you talked about your story on the podcast.
I see how it is.
You know, I think one of the other relevant questions is, who's going to do a story to share next? I mean, because we've had Kat, we've had Pip.
Who's next?
Aha! Listen, I'm not going to make you boys choose now, but keep in mind, I am gunning for you.
Oh, man. All right, we'll settle this as men.
By hiding?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how men do things.
Yeah, I thought y'all knew this. Oh, damn.
Anyway, folks.
I think we've talked enough for a mini-sode.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sure.
So that was an episode.
Well, we've made that mistake. Never again.
How do we all feel? I feel great because I didn't write anything.
Wow.
Soon.
As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostorysacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostorysacred or send an email through contact@nostorysacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode, done by Brendan. Transcript by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcripts are available at nostorysacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostorysacred.
Neat rewards this time will include some portion of the Greetings Valentine story? Maybe?
And there's notes on there now, too.
There is notes if you want to be a special patron.
See my terrible handwriting for yourself.
Mine's worse.
See all of my non-notes. Every zero pages of them.
Wow.
Until next time, where no story is sacred and any story can be changed. I'm Alex.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Pippin.
And we're...
No story is sacred.
Shit. I'm sorry, my microphone started falling.